Are you ready? Go ahead and start. I would like to call this Monday, November 19th, 2012, Planning Commission meeting to order. Dave, can you take the roll for us, please?
Yes. Chairman Lutz?
I'm here.
Commissioner Demarest?
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen?
Here.
Commissioner Christensen?
Present.
Commissioner Rutland? Commissioner Sherwood?
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Here.
Thank you. Now, before I get to comments from citizens, I wanted to make one clarification. I don't know if any of you were at our last meeting tonight. Talked about kind of the differences between the city council and us. And one thing I failed to detail was that whenever anybody comes to speak to the Planning Commission, you need to limit your comments to the Planning Commission. It's not a time to address staff. Done it outside of this meeting. It's just for addressing the Planning Commission and also any consultants we may have that we hire here. It's just it works best to just go ahead and address the Planning Commission on any issues you have. With that, this is the time where we take comments from citizens on any anything they would like to address the Planning Commission on any items that are not on tonight's agenda. Is there anyone here wanting to address the Planning Commission on any item that is not on tonight's agenda?
Where's the agenda for tonight's meeting?
I have an agenda here. I apologize if you don't have one. There's two things. We have a public hearing, which is the Roosevelt Road rezone, and we have a sign code update workshop.
I'll make comments.
Does anybody here want to make a comment on anything other than those two items?
Please, agenda.
Sir? Are you wanting to make a comment on something that's not on the agenda tonight?
This.
If so, could you come up to the podium, sir? And if you could give us your name and address for the record, sir.
Sure. My name is Paul Novak. I live at 16654 White Mountain Road Southeast, and that is in the Foothills subdivision. My understanding is that you. My first question is, are you not going to be addressing the replat for the Bear Mountain Estates property?
What we are discussing tonight, sir, is actually a rezone. It's called the Roosevelt Road rezone, and I believe it encompasses that area. So it's a rezone for that. We will be discussing that later tonight. We will not be discussing any specifics of the plat. That's not something we specifically get involved with.
Okay, so the rezone is that replat and the subdivision of that property is dependent on the rezoning of the Roosevelt Road area.
That I'm not quite sure. But if that's what your comments are tonight, we do have, we can address that during the public hearing, sir, because we have a public hearing on that tonight.
Okay.
Tonight. We have a public hearing about the Roosevelt Road rezone. There's going to be an introduction by staff, and then we'll be able to get into more details on that at that time. And then you'll also be able to address.
I'm going to hold the comments until after that.
You can give comments during that public hearing on that.
Very good.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to make comments to the Planning Commission on items that are not on tonight's agenda?
Yeah.
Can you come up to the podium for us?
She's on the Bear Mountain thing, so.
Oh, okay. Anyone else wishing to make a comment on anything that's not on tonight's agenda? With that, we will move on. I believe we do not have minutes to approve tonight. So I come to our first item, and that is a public hearing on the Roosevelt Road rezone. That's RZ 2011-01. And I believe Planning Manager Paul Popelka is on that. Has stepped out for a moment to make copies of tonight's agenda. Planning manager, Paul Kelly, we have introduced our public hearing for the evening.
Okay, I'm going to give a brief introduction to the Roosevelt Road rezoning project, a little bit of background, and offer some information before we have the public testimony.
Sir, do you have a mic?
Do you have a microphone?
A chance, so we can hear you out here. Thank you.
Is the speaker on out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you? Probably good. How's that?
Perfect, thank you, yes.
Okay, just reiterate, I'm going to give a little bit of background information on this rezoning before we open up the public hearing for public testimony. This is about 71 acres located east of Roosevelt Road, mainly west of the Foothills subdivision, north of Highway 2. Primarily wooded, there are a number of larger lots along Roosevelt Road. Little bit of history. This property was annexed back in 2008. It was brought in at a residential category of 2 to 5 units per acre. In 2010, there was a comprehensive plan amendment done that changed that density, that residential land use, from 2 to 5 units per acre to 5 to 7. Five to seven is an effective density of perhaps 6 lots or 6 homes per acre. Back in May of 2010, when the commission first considered this comp plan amendment, they recommended denial to the city council. Council then approved that comp plan amendment in later in 2010. And thus, the land use designation in the comprehensive plan, the land use plan, was changed to 5 to 7 per acre. Now, this rezoning, the basic purpose of this is to bring the zoning, which is residential 2 to 5 per acre, into compliance with the comprehensive plan. One should follow the other for consistency. Now, in history on that, back in February, the commission held some workshops on this rezoning, quite a bit of discussion, and their recommendation to council was to delay action on the rezoning until a transportation plan update was completed. They went to council that same month in February. Council gave staff direction to schedule a public hearing and process the rezoning. That action was put off until fall, knowing that it was going to take us several months to get back to it. So we did have a public hearing with the city council back in October, but we're back here with a public hearing with the planning commission so that the commission can then make their recommendation, updated recommendation on this rezoning to the city council. Another image, this shows some topography. You can see that about the middle of the site where the, these are our topographic elevations come together, there's a ridge about the middle of the property. From the north, it drops off to the north. To the south of the middle of the property, it slopes down toward the south. The property has some wetlands A lot of it, half of it is developed as large lots on homes on 3, 5, perhaps larger size lots. There's obviously the, a lot of you folks are familiar with the Foothill subdivision, mainly to the east and to the south. But this rezoning is to consider changing this zoning from residential 2 to 5 per acre to 5 to 7 units per acre.
That's comp plan designation, that's on.
The comp plan and the zoning ordinance are virtually the same, but in terms of the correct terminology, the zoning is now urban residential 9600, which is about 5 to 7 units per acre. This proposed change would reclassify that zoning to urban residential 6000, which is basically 5 to 7 units per acre. Can I take any questions from the commission at this point?
Commissioners, any questions at this point?
So we're not really changing how many housing units, we're just changing the language? Is that what's happening?
What we're changing is the potential density of housing units. Housing units could be built at any density below 7 units per acre. They could build one house per acre. They could build one house per 5 acres. But the zoning of UR or urban residential 6,000 would allow up to 7 lots, in this case, single family homes per acre, as opposed to a maximum of 5 units or lots per acre under the current zoning of 2 to 5. So there's a, what we're talking about is an increase of up to 2 units per acre.
What is the density of the proposed project?
There is no proposed project.
This bare amount of states.
We're discussing the rezone.
But I'm just wondering, do you know the answer to that question?
79 residential units.
Sir,
that is the answer.
Sir, it's not the answer. If you could wait for having a discussion with staff, there'll be time for you to be able to participate.
There is no, a subdivision has been submitted. It's in the early stages of review. That is, it certainly is related to rezoning since it's on the, within this property, but tonight is not about the subdivision. It's about the rezoning. There is a separate process and will be separate hearings with the subdivision, and we have received a number of comments, but that is not on the agenda tonight. Tonight we're talking about rezoning, the bigger picture.
3.65, thank you.
We're not dismissing the subdivision because we know that it's something that needs to be considered and will be considered, but in another separate process. We need to keep the two separate.
And real quick, I'll just remind the planning commissioners if they could, for the sake of Dave or Kim or whoever's going to be listening to the tape, if you could just let me call on you, then that way they can keep track of who's speaking. So, thank you. Commissioners, any other questions? Dave?
Paul, are you done with the presentation part of this?
I am.
In the staff report, there were a couple of comments made. You actually reiterated one of the least this evening. You talk about that this is being done because of the state requirement that the zoning comply with the contents of the plan. At least that's how I read it, what I would have heard you say. I know that the contents of the plan is supposed to be our policy document that guides us as far as future land use, and it's something that we work toward. But I sat up here a long time, and I don't remember ever being told that there was a specific time frame within which the zoning had to comply with the comp plan after the comp plan was amended. Can you comment further on that?
State law does call for consistency between the comprehensive plan, the land use, and the zoning to match that land use designation. I'm not aware of what the time limit is or what the time requirements are for bringing it into consistency. That's something we can verify between now and the next meeting. Intent being that tonight the commission will take public testimony and we may well want to delay taking action in terms of recommendation until our meeting in our next meeting, which will be the second Monday in December.
Okay, that would be great if you could bring some more information back on that. The other comments, and clearly council seems to have gone a different direction than we've gone on this in the past, and that they seem to want to move forward with the rezone. Concerns that we as a commission had in the past related to transportation, as suggested by a past city staff member, engineer, who said that there were some concerns there as to the intersection with Fineland Boulevard or Roosevelt Road and Highway 2. Concerns with access, and I think that being this property ultimately is going to be developed, it seems, by going through foothills, whether it's at 9600 or 6000. Regardless, but obviously the more units, the more concern perhaps. And then lastly, and it's not in the staff report, but we talked about this last time around, and we suggested holding on it. We talked about the buildable land survey from 2007 and how that was in the process of being updated, the thought being that perhaps things have changed a bit since that was adopted, given the last few years. Do we have an update on that is contributing toward a change in position on this whole issue?
We do, and I meant to give an update on the buildable land report. It's something that's done every 5 years through Snohomish County. We are in the process, as we speak, of updating the buildable land report for the next round of comprehensive plan updates, which is due in 2015. It has not been finalized just yet, but I will have more information on that at our next meeting as well. And I should mention, for the benefit of the commission and the audience, that part of the reasoning behind this upzoning or this change of land use from a maximum of 5 units per acre to 7 units per acre is in working toward trying to address the gap that we have in Monroe between what we have today for housing units and what is projected to be needed by 2025. Right now we're short about 1,000 units of housing. Basically 1,000 units of housing, or about maybe 2,500 people that we are projected to grow in the next 13 years. Part of this exercise with this piece of property was to take a piece of ground that has similar development, at least to the east, and increase the zoning to realize a higher density to make more progress toward that gap of 1,000 units. There are other potential subdivisions out there that will also help address this problem. And that was part of the basis, I believe, for the council's action to change the land use to a higher potential density, and thus the zoning from 9,600 to 6,000 square foot lots. But I will bring more information on that buildable land report.
That's good, because that 1,000 unit shortfall is still based on the 2007 study, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. And I know that in the staff report, or the rezone application criteria that was included in our package, that was certainly some of the criteria that was included as to why this should be done, that shortfall. Last question for now. The foothills at the time it was developed was done under a somewhat different code than we have today, as I understand it, and as I recall. What is that, is that equivalent? Is the foothills equivalent to UR 6000 zone today, if it were to be developed today, or is it more equivalent to a UR 9600 zone as a PRD, a planned residential development?
It's currently zoned UR 9600.
And it was developed in the UR 9600 zone?
As a PRD.
As a PRD,
yes.
Yes, it was developed as a planned residential development, which gives the developer some flexibility on density, number of lots, size of lots. But what is being envisioned potentially for this 70 acres is a like kind, very similar density of development as there is in the foothills today.
And that's what I'm trying to understand. Would we end up with, as it says in the application criteria, similar housing stock to what the Foothills is?
I believe so. It's a comparable density.
Comparable lot sizes?
Yes. Whether it's developed as a standard subdivision or a planned residential development, they would be comparable sizes of lots.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Commissioners? Yeah.
The reason I asked the question about the density was to frame this thing that you sell them because of critical areas and other restraints reach the maximum potential. If you take 71 acres, 7 units per acre, it's 500 units give or take. And if I look at that map and look at the scope of the Foothills and the scope of this proposed rezone area, Foothills has 220 homes, so the rezone area probably would be 250 homes. And so just to frame it, that's one of the things we're up against here, trying to get to the number of units we're supposed to, that the efficiency of the land is actually quite a bit lower than the potential density would be on paper.
I believe some of that can be addressed through a planned residential development, where there are significant wetlands, and there are wetlands within this Roosevelt Road rezoning area. And if it were to be developed strictly as standard subdivisions, it would be less efficient in that sense. However, the PRD, with additional design standards and so forth, allows the developer to, I'll say, cluster in the buildable areas, a higher number of lots that are slightly smaller than mandated at 6,000 square feet. There are a number of requirements, like a mixture of different sizes of lots, so it doesn't become a subdivision of one small sized lot for the entire subdivision. The intent of the PRD is to allow some flexibility in terms of gaining efficiency or gaining the number of units, but at the cost, so to speak, of higher design standards and more stringent requirements. So it's a mix of incentives and requirements.
Thank you. Paul, I have a question. I'm going off of memory on this. I thought I read somewhere that the city council, are they going to do a public hearing on this also, or is...
Council, we did do a public hearing with council last month. But
the rezone?
For the rezone, okay. Yes. And we only had two speakers. One was a question about sewer, and the other was a question related to a subdivision application, which had not even happened yet. Then we actually do need to bring this through the commission, as we are tonight, for a public hearing and recommendation.
So they've had one. We're having one tonight. Are they going to have another one, or is this?
No, this will be the last public hearing.
Okay.
Commissioners, any other questions before we open the public testimony?
All right. Thank you, Paul. We are going to open the Brad.
I have more staff presentation, sir.
Oh, my apologies.
All right, let's put it on my desk. Put the switch up. I'm good, sir.
Since the last time we talked to the Planning Commission, we have had a traffic impact analysis done on the Roosevelt Road rezone. And it shows that the rezone does not drop the level of service below what is required by the comprehensive plan. The only exception in one intersection, which is the intersection of Roosevelt Road and US 2, the west one that doesn't have a signal. They suggested that currently would be a level of service D in the year 2022, and with the project it would drop to a level of service with the rezone, actually without the rezone, any development up there would actually drop to a level of service E. So that would require the installation of either a signal or an acceleration lane to allow people to pull onto the right turns off of Roosevelt Road onto Highway 2. That is the worst movement because people have to wait for a break in traffic before they can pull out in front of people. So if you had an acceleration lane that would allow people to merge, which would then bring that back into the required level of service.
Is that a requirement that would come along with a plat? It's outside the city limits and it's a state highway. Can the city impose that sort of improvement?
Yes, through the request from Washington State Department of Transportation, just like we have mitigation fees out inside, out in county roads too, with our interlocal agreement, we have an interlocal agreement with the Washington State Department of Transportation, and then we would do a requirement like a mitigated determination of non-significance. One of the mitigation requirements would be the payment of that, and if we didn't do that, they would have the opportunity to say you need to impose that requirement.
And then is that an improvement that would have to be made within 6 years or made prior to the plat being approved?
Maybe within 6 years. And it's also up to WatchDOT whether or not they want to impose that or not. Because supposedly someday that intersection is going away with the bypass. So the other one that would have a impact would be the intersection of Roosevelt Road and US 2, the signalized one at Franz Boulevard. Currently, it's a level of service D in 2020 without anything happening, just normal background goes to a level of service E. And then with the 505 units being built up there, which is maximum density if they did the lowest amount of wetlands and everybody did a PRD, go to level of service F, but that would be able to be mitigated by changing the timing of the signals, which WashDOT does every once in a while as traffic changes to get it back down to a level of service E.
Thank you. Commissioners, David?
And the city could coordinate that timing of signals, or as I look at Maggie and Ira's letter of April 2010, that's controlled by WashDOT and ultimately by Burlington Northern because of its proximity to the tracks?
Only the northbound leg is controlled by Burlington Northern or people going straight through. We have installed the free right turn lane so people can make the right turns out of there, and also the left turn signal goes even when there's a train.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Any other questions?
And I'm still going.
Great. Thank you for letting me know.
There was also a track analysis done for Bear Mountain Estates, even though that's not the purpose of this. It does give some insight into if development happens on the piece of property that accesses the foothills roads, the main road intersections in foothills still remain within the acceptable level of service per the comprehensive plan.
Is that it?
I'm done.
Okay, thanks. Commissioner?
Yeah. Before I forget, I just want to make one note. We have received, what you have on your dais, two letters from citizens regarding the rezoning, and just today received a document from the Foothills HOA regarding the rezoning.
Thank you. Dave?
Brad, while we're on the topic of traffic, how many lots can you serve one way in and out? Is there any sort of practical limit?
The practical limit is a road allows 2,000 hourly trips on it. So I mean that's a large amount of traffic. Currently, there is a requirement in the Appendix D of the Uniform International Fire Code, which limits allows the city to limit the number of single family or duplexes with one access to 30. However, there are two exceptions to that. One is that the houses have automatic sprinkler systems in them, or that there is a future secondary access provided for. And it doesn't explain what future is.
Okay.
And I was going to ask you and provide it for you.
Yeah. So such as the Foothill subdivision actually has the stubs that go to the west that were put in for future extension. That's what this, Bear Mountain and Phillips Ridge Road, right at the corner of the rezone area, that was stubbed out for a future extension. And also at the bottom of the rezone area, that road there is stubbed out for a future extension.
I'm good for now, thanks.
Real quick, I have a question. And I can't remember all the numbers you threw out there, but the International Fire Code had a number of vehicles. So if this...
It has a number of houses.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Houses. And you're saying basically that we have some stub outs there that they could use. If we didn't use those stub outs and that thing was developed to the full level, as you discussed, but I imagine we would probably go over that threshold with the number of houses. Is that...
Correct.
Okay. So... If they were to develop further, stub outs would have to be used. They would have to get a different access at some point.
At some point. It's when that point is. And like, such as, you know, the current road has one way in, one way out, and it has, you know, over 200 houses. You know, if it extends in the future, you know, it's been sitting there for like 15 years, and now it's going to be extended. You know, there's the next phase, stub out and wait 15 years, and then, you know, stub out and eventually make it to Roosevelt Road. So that's... up to a recommendation from the Planning Commission and ultimately up to the Council on what conditions they want to put on any development that happens in that area.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions? Anything else from staff? Okay, well then we will open up the public testimony. What we have here is a list. If you signed in, you're on the list. And if you did not get your name on the list, that's all right. When we're done with going through the list, we will ask for other comments also. And if we get to your name on the list and you decide you don't want to speak, that's okay. You don't have to. I will say that most people know this, but we're the Planning Commission. We're not the City Council. We make an advisory vote. We'll make a recommendation to the Council. They're the ones that make the final decision. Sometimes we vote against something and they vote for it, so that happens. With that, I also have a timer here. There's a lot of people here. In order to get to everybody, we do ask you to keep your comments to 5 minutes. This is here really to help you know where you're at in that process. And when we do call your name, we'll have you come up to the podium, give your name and address for the record, and then we have just a quick oath we ask you to take, and let you address the Planning Commission. Thank you, Brad. First on the list is Bill Borsheen. Is that right? If you could come to the podium and give us your name and address for the record.
My name is William Borsheen from 16573 White Mountain Road, Monroe.
And do you promise the testimony you are about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I see that you are given a history that is truncated and biased, going back to the period when the land was in the city, was in the county dominion. There was a hearing for development there. And experts for animal and ecological development were there, and they said this was an ecological and animal center. And the development was squashed. People from the representatives from Monroe came and said, we don't want it developed, because they said we want it for parkland. Now I understand from your history that you immediately took this land into the city of Monroe on the idea that it would be developed. So you know what your history is already. I have photographs there showing what the land is like. They've hung in art galleries, and there are stumps in there that really show the history of what that land was. There are stumps in there that are 8 feet in diameter. Most of you probably have never heard of them or ever seen them. There are water courses running through the area. The whole east side is a water course. And you're developing it right on a clay base. You're going to have major, major problems, as the Foothills development is already. The Foothills development was improper. It took a forested area and split it immediately into three sectors. Two of the main roads in the Foothills development was not ecological, and it was not properly done to look at ecological and animal crossings. There are eagles in the area. There are ducks. There are water ponds in the back. There are, as I said, water courses all over the area. The whole east side is a flow to the north. And one of the photographs there is called Disappearing Monroe. And this hearing here and the city council hearing is how we understand how the past Monroe becomes disappeared. That's what I have to say.
Thank you. Next on the list is John McFetters.
I'm going to decline comment now until environmental hearing.
Thank you. Tim Otto. Give us your name and address for the record, please.
1659 White Mountain Road.
You promised a testimony you're about to give us the truth. If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I guess I'm going at this different direction. I've got the traffic analysis from, I wish Brad Lincoln was here, but and it says that it gives all the statistics and all the numbers and all that deal. And it says it takes me 16.5 seconds to get through Fireman's Boulevard right now. Well, it takes me 16 minutes. That's letter F. That means that you're going to pay a lot of money. It just gets in here. And so we're way over that now. It says it's a C. It says after you build all these things, it's going to be a D. So I would think you guys are going to have to do something this first. Because you're over all the grades. I've gone over and over and over this. I've driven that thing 40 times a month for a year's 200, whatever, 40. I've gone down that road 1,000 whatever times, and it's just, it doesn't add up at the intersection 252 and Waverly and all that right down there. It doesn't work. And so, you know, before you go any farther, I guess maybe somehow we should, or you guys should figure this out. It took me 16 minutes last Tuesday to get that ramp. Yeah, that's the new ramp. But you've got 60 or 70 cars. Mommy. If you don't get up to that ramp before 6:15, you're stuck. You know, somebody thought, yeah, I got it. Just by the coffee shop, only 8 minutes this morning. But, so I guess, you know, whenever you hire to decide this and all these people are talking about stuff, I just want to do the thing on the traffic. And something's got to be done. The ramp's just not going to work. When you got a school bus, you can't get the gear to the cement truck enough. It's every morning, unless it's maybe Sunday morning in the summer. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony Ford, is it?
It is.
Give us your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Anthony B. Ford, 16822 White Mountain Road, southeast of Monroe.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give us the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
This is the beginning of a process that scares me. We're original owners in the Foothills community. We've liked the community. We've kept our community well. We're well known in the real estate industry, I think, for having a well-run community. And now we have a threat to our community and a threat to our livelihood. And this is the beginning of the process, I recognize. I take issue with access to the property. And it was, I think Mr. Fieldberg was referring to a traffic study, and so was my predecessor. I don't know who did that traffic study, But I think we're going to have somewhere, depending on who you talk to, somewhere in the neighborhood, 100 houses or more, times four people, times two cars per lot. So you do the numbers. And those numbers are going to come right up Foothills Boulevard, go left on Wave Mountain Road, take a right through the middle of our community, and into this new development. The fire code, if you take it literally the way it was presented, is as long as there's an out that a developer puts a road in and says, maybe we'll do this in the future, if you believe that to be okay, then the next developer can do the same thing, and we can have developer after developer after developer still coming up Foothills Boulevard because we're using this out. And I think this is time to draw the line and say, this is another development added to the Foothills, which requires access to Roosevelt Road. There's no question in my mind that that needs to happen. And it worries me that we're going to have, 200 more cars coming. You ever stand on Foothills Boulevard in the morning or in the evening? There's an awful lot of cars that come out of our existing community. And you're going to add another 30 or 40% traffic to it. This rezone can't happen until you make an access to Roosevelt Road. Thank you.
Lisa Craddock. Give us your name and address for the record, please.
Lisa Craddock, 12807 Phillips Ridge Road, Southeast.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I just wanted to draw attention to the sewer issues on Phillips Ridge Road. I live on the next to the last house on the cul-de-sac, and I had raw sewage come into my house in 2008, a foot of it. I mean, it was like poltergeist. I was told that the sewer clean out had never been cleaned out when the house was built. I lived there from 2000 to 2012. 2002 to 2012. The house was 2 years old when we moved in. In 10 years, it had not been cleaned out when this happened. I called a plumber and had him come out. $3,000 later, I had to put a new sewer cleanup to my house. And I was supposed to have a 4-inch stub coming out of the house, but I only have a 3. The city tried to say that there was grease and rags and such in the manhole. However, I didn't put any rags or grease down there. I had 2 empty houses on either side of me because they were both up for sale. So what happened is the house at the very end of the cul-de-sac, I was told, has no side sewer. They go directly into the main line. I come off the one side of my house where my neighbor on the other side of me sort of wise into our line, and we go and sort of make a gentle turn into the main. Well, that's, if I don't have anybody at home in this house and there's nobody home in this house, there's simply not enough surge of water coming down there to keep the water flowing. And I had a backup. They said, well, sewage isn't supposed to back up into your house. And I said, well, I agree. And they said that there was a some sort of a vent that was supposed to be open there where it would come out of the manhole before it would back up into your house. We did hear from the builder who said he was going to plan on using that existing sewer line as it is now, and that concerns me greatly because I don't think it's manageable for any more houses to be plugged into that existing sewer. I guess that's really all I have to say. The one person that I had to bring the plumber out, he said that he felt that about 10 feet out into the street from where my clean out was, that there may have been a break in the line. The city came out, they sucked out the manhole, they did a camera line down to see what was going on, got at about that 10-foot part, and kind of jerked the DVD and left rather abruptly. And I never did exactly hear what happened with that area. But they told me that there's simply not enough grade for me to continue having sufficient flushing power on this. I'll say unless each home is occupied and regularly flushing their toilets. So, yeah, it's not very pleasant, but that's what I wanted to draw attention to tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Carolyn Young. Can you give us your name and address for the record, please?
Carolyn Young, 16875 Snowgrass Mountain Road, Southeast Monroe.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
So just a little bit about me is I work for a builder. So I understand the building process and what goes into it. I'm not against building. I think building is progress. What I have an issue with is the impact to public safety, personally, my children, my neighbors, my family and friends that live in that area. You know, we have one point of ingress and egress into this neighborhood, which I think we already exceed the ability for that road. We've talked about the fire code, which we're greatly going to exceed. I think that it's truly important to public safety, which I think everyone can agree on. There's no compromise for that. You're going to bring hundreds and hundreds of dump trucks, dual-axle vehicles that can't see small children into a community that's very narrow roads. There's no stop signs around the parks that all of our kids access. There's no crosswalks to and from the public side streets to that park for them to safely travel. There's nothing to slow these vehicles down, not to mention trust trucks, pumper trucks, and every trade partner that you have to build these homes. I think what's acceptable to require of the builder is to have another access road for ingress and egress. I don't think that's unreasonable to ask for that community as well as our own. Public safety is huge. Right now, if there was to be an issue on that one road going to Foothills, there would be no access to that entire community for safety. So that's a huge personal issue for me. Not to mention, again, SWIPs, mud, all the different things that are going to come along with that, all of the stormwater issues that there can be from the mud tracking in there, personal property damage. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into construction. So that's my biggest thing, public safety. Can't stress enough. Those are my kids at that park with dual-axle dump trucks, not even slowing down because there's no stop signs in place, no crosswalks. Their vision is greatly affected by the vehicles that they are driving for small children and seeing them. It's not too much to ask for the builder to have another road in that rezone for safety for everyone involved. So, thank you.
Thank you.
You're here.
Ryan Stafford. Can you give us your name and address for the record, please?
Ryan Stafford, 16659 Pinnacle Road, Southeast.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
These folks did a wonderful job articulating my concern about the single access. From a safety standpoint, I have three small elementary school children. We go to the bus stop every morning, pick them up every afternoon. On the route in that the trucks would take, they would pass 30 homes, three bus stops, and three parks. So from a safety standpoint, taking my children to the bus, having them play at the parks, that really concerns me. So, thank you.
Thank you. Joe Springer?
Joe Springer, 16691 Pinnacle Road, Southeast.
You promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I agree with what everybody's saying as well. I'm a full-time firefighter. That's what I do for a living. The fire code, Article D, 107.1, is what we referred to earlier. The 30 residential units, we're already seven times that. Let's face it, the stub outs for future development, they're not necessarily a cop-out for developers. It can cost millions of dollars to extend roads in some neighborhoods. It's the ability for growth. Cities need growth. I don't have a problem with the development of the area. I do have a problem with the rezone. I think if we're going to try and pack it down and put more houses in there, that's an issue. I'm also a general contractor on my days off. I understand building. I mean, I potentially could do work in that neighborhood. I have three kids. My wife's at home when I'm at work. There's a water main that goes up our only access right now. That water main breaks, shuts down our only access road. You have approximately 197 houses that would be passed any point that a fire truck, ambulance, police cars might be able to make it in. You know, most we could probably drive over the sidewalk. There's no way a fire truck's getting there. I personally know how much time it would take to overhaul fire hose and whatever else we need to do to get in and fight a fire, do CPR on somebody. I mean, with one access, one simple disaster. I worked at the city public utilities out in North Bend. I've dealt with water main breaks. Those things can cause a huge issue. And we have one on the entrance. We're shut down. I mean, we're shut down for 12 hours potentially. You're not going to have any emergency services at all past that point. You know, my three kids going up to the park. The city did a great job trying to recruit young families. That was their focus a decade ago or so. I moved in about 9 years ago. I love this community. I think it's great. I love our neighborhood. It's wonderful. I wouldn't want to move. I'd like a bigger house, but I don't because the neighborhood's great. With this, that'll change if we don't have a second means of access. Cars already go too fast. I'm probably one of them. That street right by my kid's bus stop, people fly down it. You know, we have 500 houses. I mean, if we have 500 houses coming in that thing, you're going to have a revolt. You know, I don't think it would get that way. That's worst case scenario. But, you know, even just the 73 houses that we've been hearing about, there's been different numbers. That's, you know, upwards of 150, 200 more cars coming in and out of our neighborhood. And I just think it's, for me, my main concern is a second access and done immediately so construction vehicles go in and out that access. And you know, we can go that way to bring our kids to school and they can come out the foothills to go into town, whatever. But having two accesses would reduce traffic on the one we have and it would also keep our public safety. It would increase what we have because we're already over what we should. So that's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Cameron Brown. Can you give us your name and address for the record, please?
Cameron. It's good. Cameron Routes, 12951 Phillips Ridge Road.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give us the truth?
If I do.
Say I do. Thank you.
As my address tells you, I live right on Phillips Ridge. I'm actually four houses down from the proposed entry and exit point into our development from the Libby development. My son is 3 years old, my daughter is one, and my son is really big into construction vehicles. So I know for a fact that if in the event that they are allowed to travel through our neighborhood, that he will want to be down there as much as possible. I also know that as a three-year-old, and then I understand it's my responsibility to make sure he's safe, I'll throw that out right now, but as a three-year-old, he's going to want to be as close as he possibly can. And I know that he's going to get out there, and he may get too close, and the trucks are not going to see him. And I know that that would be a horrible loss. I would be devastated, needless to say. The safety of our neighborhood, the safety of our children. Our neighborhood has, I don't know how many hundreds of children in it right now. It's a large number. And as it's been stated many times before, and as you can see here, they're all concerned as well. The safety of our children, the safety of our neighborhood is bar none the most important thing. It should be your most important thing. The second thing I have to ask is, I've heard from Mr. Poppet, pardon me, that's your name, Poppet, about that the need for homes coming in the near future is going to be in the neighborhood of 1,000 or more in 10 to 15 years. While that's great, what I want to know is, how is upgrading, if you will, from an R2 to 5 to an R5 to 7 in the public's best interest? I understand you say that's one point. How about the rest of the points? How about, is that the right thing for that piece of property? What I really urge you guys to do is make sure that is the right thing to do before you say yay or nay. I understand it's up to the council, and I'm sorely disappointed that we don't get to speak at the council as well regarding this issue. Like I say, safety is number one, and it's my most, the most critical thing I can think of, being four houses down from New Woodby Entrance.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Paul Novak.
You again. Paul Novak. I live at 16654 White Mountain Road, Southeast, and...
Do you promise a testimony about...
Yes, I do. Okay, I'm also in the construction business, and this represents our livelihood as far as new development and making areas grow. However, my concern is that in this rezone, we're looking for to specifically address the need for another 505 homes potential on this 71 acres. As you can see, primarily it's all 5-10 acre parcels, and the largest parcel, which is what, 25-30 acres, is the one that's really your gem if you want to have any density. My concern is that you're not going to get that much more housing on that particular piece of property unless you have everybody joined together and then they do a planned unit development. So that's just, I'm just throwing a little water on the fire there as far as, are you going to get the benefit that you want? Then on top of that, my concern is we're projecting a need for a certain number of homes. How is the city of Monroe going to provide water, sewer, etc., and to what extent do we bear the cost of those improvements? We've seen our water bills and our sewer bills go up every year for the last 5 years, above and beyond the rate of inflation, and I think most of us are kind of sick of it, and that's just from an expense standpoint. If we're bearing the cost of future development, then I would say that sort of stuff has to stop. Additionally, if we're going to talk about access, from the standpoint of construction access, it's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous activity. And for an established community to put up with that type of danger, and as well for the developer's benefit, the developer should also be looking for, and any developer should be looking for, alternate access to this property, just from a liability standpoint. But we're looking at a lot of activity coming through tight roads with a lot of other activity going on, and a rezone is fine, but I don't think you're going to get additional benefit by rezoning to 7 units per lot or per acre. And that's about all I have to say.
Thank you. Aaron Boss?
Name is Aaron Boss. I live on 16584 White Mountain Road, Southeast.
Testimony you're about to give us the truth, if so, say I do.
Yes, I do. Currently, my wife and I are renting this home, and we rented for a year to make sure that we wanted to live in this area of the foothills, and we decided we did. Wednesday, we signed papers on a house on Bear Mountain Road, and our biggest concern, of course, like everybody else has said, about the safety. We, too, also have two small children, I guess intermediate, 11 and 10. And our biggest concern is the safety. The park sits right there in the middle, and the kids walk across the street to go to the park. If this if this goes through, we're not going to sign papers. So I kind of, my biggest thing is we kind of need an answer, and which probably won't get resolved tonight. So more than likely, we might end up holding off and not even buying this area if this is going to happen. That's all I got to say.
Thank
Thanks.
You. Thank you. Sean Carpenter?
Sean Carpenter, 12903 Phillips Ridge Road.
Do you promise a testimony you're about to give us the truth, and so say I do?
I do.
Thank you, sir.
I came into the City Hall beginning of the month. I believe it was November 5th with my daughter, Chloe, who you'll hear from in a second. And according to the city, there were no files on record for Bear Mountain. However, on the application that's here, there's notice postings from the end of October and the 2nd of November. How can you post something and process it without having suitable time to notify the population? I got here because of a text message at 5 o'clock tonight that this was happening. I developed cell sites for a living. I've been in front of a lot of planning commissions. I know you have to provide a public notice. You guys did not meet the requirements for that. Safety. Phillips Ridge Road is the one affected along the east edge of that parcel. My house sits on, as of right about now until mid-May, we'll have about 2.5 inches of solid water in our backyard. However, somebody classified that area as not being allowed water check. Well, I don't know how they're doing it because half of the driveways in the area are settling. There's water that's seeping in the ground underneath our house. There's foundations that are settling. If I'd have known it, I would have never bought up there because of the wetland issue, at least not on that part of the area. The Foothills is a wonderful community. There's got to be a different way for these construction trucks to come in. I was driving by the park at 7 o'clock this morning, and it was a dual dump truck with a long extension in between. He almost wiped me out coming down Bear Mountain Road because he was trying to avoid the cars. We're not established. We don't have the width of the roads to have the traffic going back and forth. And if anything happens to our kids, yeah, there's no reason for it.
Thank you.
Before I move on, could you, Paul, I believe we have notice in the paper for this rezone. Is that correct?
This meeting would have had notice in the newspaper, direct mailing to residents, and posting on the website and here at City Hall. So we did. And on the site itself. So we did actually meet or exceed public notice requirements.
There was not notice given on the Foothill side of the parcel. Notice for the Foothill side went up at the park last week, maybe a week and a half ago. So your public notice did not occur. I came in here to meet with your planning department about the potential development because we didn't. There hadn't been any notice public put along the Phillips Ridge Road. When I came in, I met with the planner, and he said that there's a preliminary meeting had occurred, but there had not been an official submission. So what was the date of the official submission? And if it was in October, as you're saying, why was I as a citizen told that there wasn't anything official? I was registered as a person of interest on that date. So, I mean, there's the timelines are established.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
I believe this resident is talking about the Bear Mountain subdivision.
I came in to ask about any impact to the block across the street from my house.
Not the rezoning.
Correct.
If I'm correct.
Yeah, and so I think what's happening is we have two different issues. This meeting tonight is strictly about the rezone in the purple area there, rezoning it to a different density. I know there is discussion of a development. That is not something that even comes to us. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so that will be something that just the council deals with. Is that pretty soon? The hearing examiner.
Hearing examiner.
And will there be a public hearing on that? Will there be a time period for public comment on that development?
Yes, to both.
And so there's public notice that has to happen for the development itself, which is a complete separate issue as far as the process goes than what we're dealing with tonight. Tonight it's only on the rezone.
But they have already filed based on your decision to do the R6000. So they're, instead of waiting until they get final approval and then doing it, they're doing concurrent filing, which as a developer you'd love to do. As a citizen and as a resident up there, you're truncating the system. If that's the case, their filing has got to be delayed until you make a decision here and until it goes to the city council. That gives us enough time to put together an advance. Because at that area, when I bought my house, I was told it was a protected wetland that was owned by our community to a certain extent out, at the, and there wouldn't be any more building. Now I'm going to have a house directly across the street looking in there, looking in our, my daughter's room. I mean, that's why we bought the house there. I know my guys.
Thank you, sir.
Of course, Dave? Mr. Carpenter,
yeah.
You did get mailing or notice of this hearing, though, right? Your name is on a list under...
I'd have to ask my wife. I honestly don't. I know, did not see it.
Okay.
But I know that the postings that are supposed to go along the four sides of the parcel didn't occur. Because there was a posting 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago at our public park where everybody all of a sudden knew what was going on. But the, I mean, my daughters and her friends, they play in the woods there. They saw the surveyors, what are you doing? They're very concerned about their area and the habitat and the animals. I know the development side, and I was waiting for official notice. There hasn't been official notice until 2 weeks ago. So I wonder how you can make a conscious decision when you didn't meet your notification requirements.
Thank you, sir. Move on. Next on our list is Chloe Carpenter. You could give us your name and address for the record, please.
Chloe Carpenter. 12903 Phillips Ridge Road.
Thank you. Do you promise that testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I actually just want to talk from a child's perspective of this. What happens if you actually do go in with this? How do you plan to get the cars to be able to go to the houses because they will be stacked up on each other? And I think it was last summer, I remember going into the woods and there was up to my waist of mud that me and my friends were falling in because we wanted to clean it and we got in trouble. But how do you suppose that the houses are supposed to be able to sit on the mud? And if they actually did go through this, how would they be able to get to school? Because as a sixth grader, it is hard to get to and from school on a bus. It's just so packed. But if there's more kids going in, then how do you suppose that we're going to be able to actually sit on a bus? Is there going to be two buses going in now? Because that's, I'm just going to say, not fair. But how do you suppose that, as Mr. Spanier said, fire trucks are supposed are going to be able to get in there in the neighborhood. And one last thing. There are eagles nests in there, and we've seen the eagle nests in there, and there was a barn owl. I don't know where. Oh, it's across your house. There, I
31 Pinnacle Road Southeast.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I don't have a problem per se with the vision of rezoning this whole area, but to say we're not trying to cater to the proposed development, in their time frame is a little ridiculous. When you look at what is proposed, their SEPA already lists the new zoning, and we haven't even had the public comment period. You guys have not made the recommendation, but they're basing their requirements to move forward on their neighborhood proposal with the new zoning already given. It's assumed that it's going to happen. Don't really have a problem with that until we talk about, they're talking about moving 23,000 cubic yards of fill dirt and then cutting 16,000. You add those two together because the cutting dirt is not going to be load-bearing dirt, so they're actually going to have to move with trucks all of that dirt. So we're talking over 2,000 dump trucks in and out of our neighborhood. That's completely absurd. It really is. So we're trying to rush this through, rezone this, because Monroe wants to grow. But the bottom line is, we've got a developer that bought the piece of property for $200,000, over half of what it was truly valued at by the assessor's office, and he owns the property that goes all the way out to Roosevelt Road. So I request that we conditionally approve this, because I'm assuming this is a given, that we conditionally approve this with doing what the law says, actually building the development off of a main road, not our roads. Yes. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It really is common sense. You guys are supposed to take proposals that are beneficial to public health, safety, and welfare, and that is in the public interest. So right on your website, I don't see how this benefits our public health, safety, or welfare. Certainly not in our public interest. Thank you very much. I truly appreciate what you guys do for the city, but just think about what 2,000 dump trucks would be driving into our neighborhood past three bus stops, three parks, with no stop signs, nothing.
Thank you.
Cool questions.
Okay.
Paul, the gentleman made a comment about the owner of the largest piece in here owning property out to Roosevelt Road. I know that he owns that strip on the north end, that 60 foot, I believe it is. Does he own anything else along those roads?
Not to my knowledge.
Thank you.
We're getting through these. I will, just to reiterate, I understand that we are looking at a situation. We've got two things here. One of them, of course, is just the rezone, which is what we're tasked with. Again, the development, I know one thing leads to another. The development, we won't even see that process. That process will go before the hearing examiner. But we understand the link, but again, just as a reminder, this decision tonight, or recommendation really is what it is strictly on the rezone, just as a reminder to the folks. Here, let's see. Sorry, I can't catch the first name, but it's Lockwood, his last name?
Yeah, hi.
Is that Ryan?
Yeah, hi. Brian Lockwood, 16847 Copper Mountain Road, Southeast.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? So say I do.
Everything I'm going to say is true. Yeah. I don't hear too well, so I haven't been able to follow this thing as closely as I would like to. But my understanding here is that these guys want to develop this thing and not add any new roads out to the main road. And I want to thank all my neighbors who have said that they think there should be another road. I think there should be another road, too. Anybody who doesn't think so ought to take a drive up to where this thing is going to stub into the new development, and envision making that turn from a dump truck, from a fire truck, from whatever large trucks are going to need to do this, and should also just generally think about the traffic patterns as a whole. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, next up is Patrick Kirby.
Patrick Kirby, 13099 Fair Mountain Road.
You promised the testimony you're about to give the truth, so say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I have two comments. They're specific to the rezone. Within this packet, I believe that land use goal number 5 directly conflicts with the municipal code. Under 18.10010, basically says that any new development must be compatible with the current housing stock. I would interpret that to be that any proposed development be a minimal of UR 9600. The second thing that I'm opposed to is rezoning this to UR 6000 allows this developer the potential to reduce his lot to 4,200 square feet, which means even more density than what the UR 9600 gives. Under UR 9600, he's allowed the same 30% reduction in lot size, but that only will get him down to 6,700 square feet. So I don't know why we're catering to a potential developer that already has a CEQA application from what I hear on file and is already listing its zoning out at UR 6000. It kind of seems like the cart's before the horse here. Obviously, what he has in place and in the works is definitely predicated off of UR 6000 zoning. It just seems like a straight up dollar grab. I guess my plea would be is that the Planning Commission declines this request.
Thank you. Kevin DeBoer?
I'm Kevin DeBoer. I live at 13158 Bear Mountain Road.
You promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I also don't hear so well, so it's hard to pick up on everything that's been said tonight. But I don't think I need to cover the traffic part of this issue. Can I get some clarification that a copy or a similar plan was denied in 2010? Is that correct? Or was it denied?
What it is there was a, if I understand correctly what you're asking, we did have a comprehensive plan amendment. It was a city-initiated, if I remember correctly. The city decided they wanted to increase the density.
Yes, and it was denied in 2010, October 2010, if I believe.
Well, is that am I understanding correctly that this was the comprehensive plan amendment?
I might be wrong. I didn't come here prepared tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I just kind of stopped in. But
yeah, so what we had was, we had a comprehensive plan amendment. This did come before, a rezone came before us, and what we had said, what some of the planning commissioners had said, what we had recommended to the council, was that they delay making the actual rezone on this because there was a housing study that was being done in the county. We wanted to see what that was because the whole process that started this a few years back was we were told there was a shortage of housing density around the city of Monroe, and we needed to increase our density that was mandated to us from outside of the city, if I understand correctly. And because a new study was being done on the housing density, we asked the council to hold off and just wait until this new one came out. They make their own decisions. Like I've said, they will vote differently than us, and they have asked us to take a look at this, and so this is what we're doing. We work with what they give us. So
That is what is behind that.
So you recommended a delay and they denied.
Pardon?
You recommended a delay and they denied. No, they denied the proposal at that time.
As far as I know, they didn't deny the proposal. We just mentioned it. They make their own decisions. I don't have all the details. What happened when with the city council staff? Do you have anything on that?
I can answer that if you like.
You could. Thank you.
In 2010, the council initiated a change of the comprehensive plan from residential 2 to 5 units per acre to 5 to 7 units per acre. That was a land use comprehensive plan amendment that was sent to the Planning Commission for their consideration. The commission recommended denial of that land use change. The commission recommendation was to leave it as is at the 2 to 5 land use density. Council then made the decision to amend the land use to the higher density in 2010, and then the rezoning was then initiated in order to match the zoning to the comprehensive plan. That's when it came back to the commission earlier this year. I believe it was in January. We had 3 workshops in January and February to consider this rezoning. And the commission's recommendation at that time was to delay until the transportation plan update was completed, since traffic was an issue. Council decision after that was to council directed the staff to proceed with the rezoning, which actually brought us back here tonight for a final recommendation on the rezoning for council. That's the history in a nutshell.
Thank you.
In that case, I do not see where there's enough clarification where you can't delay this again. I don't see anything that's changed in the past 2 years. So I would ask the council on that particular subject to go ahead and to ask for a delay. Is it possible to get copies of the delay and denial from 2010? For either to the homeowners board of the Foothills Association or to residents of the Foothills?
All the meeting minutes are available online, I believe, and that's where everything was discussed.
So we can go online and pull those minutes up and back in 2010, and we can review them ourselves?
I believe so. I don't think they're still online. Is that correct, Paul? If not, they could make a request that they be...
We can put them on there.
We can make a request.
You can make a request to the city if it's so old that it's no longer available online, and they can... I print that up for you. Do we charge a printing fee or anything like that?
If anyone makes a request, we will respond and get that information to them very quickly.
Okay, thank you.
I think in the meantime, we can also look to find those minutes and post them on this website for this reason.
Thank you.
So, clarification of the development as is proposed right now, if you change it to where it could drop, I think the gentleman here had the proposal of the exact numbers where it could drop to 4,600 feet per unit per house. And the developer said he's thinking of 70 houses, but is there anything that actually specifies any way of stopping them from building more than 70 houses? So if, say, they address the wetland issues or the flooding issues and built a retaining pond, like, say, in a corner of the lot, allowing them to build up to 2, maybe actually even possible. It looks like it's a little larger.
Excuse me, if I may. Again, this is not about subdivision. This hearing tonight is about the rezoning, and it's inappropriate to talk about the subdivision specifically.
Okay, then can I get a specification on what that rezoning would allow? Is a typical number, if you rezone that and you could put every single house in that rezoning area, what would be the number of houses that could actually fit in?
All right, thank you. And then
for the sake of others being able to speak.
Okay.
Time is up.
I'll let it go after that. Is it specific, or is that not a question you can answer?
Well, that actually was addressed, I think, earlier in the meeting, and you mentioned you have a hard time hearing, so that's
yes,
possibly why you didn't
possible.
Have that answer. If I heard correctly, if this was to be developed at its entire full density, was, what was it, 500? 500 homes, but is that...
That's entire 70 acres.
So it's 500 homes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One last question. This pertains to the city on water pressure. We, and I've been there since day one, since my house was built. And I've been down here and fought with you guys over and over about the water pressure. At one point, 6 years ago, the back water pressure and back development where some of these people live was down to 40, or actually 38 pounds tested at the fire hydrant, which was unacceptable by the fire department at that time. It's been brought up to 60 pounds per square inch by my house, and it's still under 60 pounds back there. Then what would that do to the water pressure to put 500 homes on that line?
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I will also remind everyone here that, again, we're not the city council, nor are we on staff. We're not employees of the city up here. We're just citizens that make recommendations to the council on planning decisions. Again, the proposed development we all are talking about, that you were all mentioning, will not come to us. We will not see that. We have no say in that matter whatsoever. And the only thing that really we're tasked with is this rezone. And I understand there's a link, but I just want to make sure you understand that we have no say in that matter whatsoever. That won't even come to us. So. I have a name here. I'm not quite sure what it is. But they live at 16792 Saddle Ridge Place.
Good job.
Is it Todd?
Yeah.
Todd
Nelson. 16792 Saddle Ridge Place, Southeast.
And you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
So, my concern is the community. As being a member of the community, as being involved in the community, our main number one thing is safety. And we can't compromise on safety, and that's what we ask you as a planning commission to consider, is safety. That is something that's really important to us. I know we don't want to talk about development, but one thing I will want to throw out to you is the developer has a 1-acre parcel going out to Roosevelt. And that is something that we are looking at asking you and would respectfully ask you to consider them as their main entrance for construction and for the residents of the neighborhood. Dead ends. We have dead ends. It's an exception. We don't have sprinklers. Dead ends are an exception. 15-year-old exception. How long will they have an exception? For that new community, it'll be another 15 years. It doesn't make sense to rezone that the way it is, and we ask respectfully that you guys reconsider and think about what we're presenting here today. I met with some of you here and spoke with you about this. I don't know if that shows the 1-acre parcel going out to Roosevelt. I haven't heard you guys talk about that as part. But if that's part of the rezoning as well, we are asking that that be used and not our community as a drive-through, and that's what it's going to be. This morning, there was a dump truck, double-loaded dump going up our street, back down to my cul-de-sac, couldn't make it, tried two times, went up. We don't have stop signs. We have blind intersections. We don't have crosswalks. The kids dart across there in the mornings, in the afternoons when they get off the bus. We need your help in really thinking about this before you make your recommendation. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you. Vicki Cole.
Vicki Mullen, 10312 210th Street, Southeast, Snohomish, Washington, 98296.
You promised a testimony I'm about to give the truth, so say I do.
Thank you.
Hi, for all of you that are here, and I hope you can hear me out in the back, the Planning Commission is not the people that you needed to talk to. It was the City Council. The City Council, if you were attending meetings, you would have heard that they've already had a first reading on this. They've already changed it.
Vicki?
The Council has.
I'm sorry, this is meant to address us.
It is to address you, to say that you guys are doing a great job, and I'm sorry that you were put in a position to have this come back to you. This is not the proper process. The proper process was what you had already done, which was to deny it, to wait till the traffic studies, to wait till the housing study. That would have been the proper and right way to do it. You did your jobs, and you did a great job. The City Council, though, in their wanting to rush things, like they've been doing to a lot of projects, has gone ahead and said already that it's a done deal. They already did a first reading, 7-1, last week. They're just waiting to do a second and final reading. This is just a hoop to jump through to try to stop, to be able to say that you guys did, that the council, that the city did the proper planning process. You all know that you did the proper thing, and you all know, and staff as well knows it, that what has the proper process, and it hasn't been reached this time. I've been watching the city since 1996, have gone to countless, hundreds of meetings, and I wish you all would. I wish you all that are living here would come to these meetings, because there's things being done so fast and furious. You're all behind. I mean, right now, you have no other time to speak to. You can speak to the planners, but as they've told you, they can only get it to the council. Council makes the final decision. You're already out of luck on that one. So it takes court cases and hearing examiners and Growth Management Act. It's just frustrating. I mean, to see good people that are going to, I mean, they're having to take your, all your things you say are really important and really great. Traffic, one way in and out, it should be looked at. It needs to be studied. I've read the traffic studies on those. I've looked this whole property over. I went and drove up through the property. I see exactly what you're talking about. But unfortunately, the process has been so corrupted that you can't, there's going to be very little for you to do. And I'm very sorry for that. But I believe the Planning Commission is doing everything they've been able to do. And they have made the right decisions all along. And I hope you'll make the right decision tonight to once again deny or delay or whatever you can do to stop this. I don't know that it'll stop it going further, but I hope these people that live in your community have a chance to at least address the council on it. Thank you for what you all do.
Thank you. Carrie Pouncey? Karen, excuse me. Give us your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Karen Pouncey. My address is 13533 Boulder Ridge Road, Southeast, Monroe, Washington.
And do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I just wanted to employ to the board, based off of personal experience, that whatever you could do to delay or slow down this process, I live in the foothills, and this came about to me rather suddenly. It was just very recent, within the last couple days. It was explained to us the process that was about to happen to our neighborhood. I've lived in the neighborhood for 6 years. About a year into living in the neighborhood, we have severe drainage problems in our backyard. I do live in one of the lower elevation lots in the neighborhood, and my husband and I started the process of trying to have someone come in and fix the drainage. Through exploration, we came in and had the utilities marked off, and then we contacted the City of Monroe, and they sent a gentleman out, and he came out, and he actually came back again subsequent days with plans. And it was explained to us that the developer failed to install the drainage according to the plans that were filed with the City of Monroe into the neighborhood. We were looking to tap into the drainage to alleviate some of the standing water in our yard. Based off of my personal experience, I have no confidence in the city of Monroe in making sure that what the plan the developers put in place is executed. And then I shudder to think that now there's going to be further development at a higher elevation in the neighborhood. Other than that, I would say that as a mother, I think I'm concerned about the safety of my children. They do, from our area of the neighborhood, frequent the main park. I think it's absolutely irresponsible to direct commercial level traffic through a residential neighborhood. It's been very enlightening hearing the statistics of the fire code and that we're populated to a density 7 times over what might be recommended for having a single access neighborhood. But also as a homeowner, I'm concerned about the property values as well. And then I think the other thing, looking at the development, is I noticed that for our neighborhood, I'm not hearing any benefits to our neighborhood. I know oftentimes when developers put plans in place that there's some sort of compensatory provision put in, either common areas, a park is built out. The only thing I've heard thus far is that our roads in and out of our neighborhood are going to be burdened with a large amount of trucks, and I have a feeling that those roads weren't built up to specification of that type of traffic. And I'm pretty sure the city of Monroe could not afford to go back in and then correct the roads for us. And I guess based off of that, as far as a planning perspective, I think that the process should be delayed and consideration given for other things that haven't been, doesn't sound like it's been spoken to. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Jeffrey Thomas. Give us your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Jeffrey Thomas. I live at 16857 Copper Mountain Road, Southeast, Monroe, Washington, 92272.
You promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth, if so, say I do.
To the best of my ability, it will be truthful and accurate, yes.
Thank you.
Vicki said something that really rung true with my heart. Vicki's been before me quite a bit as a council member here in Monroe, where I sat up there where you are right now. Served as a planning commissioner as well. Served as a staff member and as a developer. And the thing about a planning commission is that you're there to discern value judgments. If it were good enough simply to have staff tell you what to do, if it were good enough to have a mayor tell you what to do, if it were good enough to have council tell you what to do, or a lawyer, or an engineer, you wouldn't exist. The thing that Vicki said that really rung with my heart is about this being a hoop to jump through. The concern is this: our community is not a hoop to jump through. We are real people with real lives, with animals and kids, and we have jobs. Our kids go out and play. It is a real community. It is not a hoop to jump through. And I know that there have been people here before you today from our community that have spoken with you about a subdivision. And I know that that is not the scope of this hearing. This hearing is being done a little bit differently than it does in other jurisdictions. My wife, as she's pointed out, noticed that there was a little bit of a discrepancy in you all needing to provide a recommendation to council, which is why this is back here today. I find other discrepancies that I'm concerned about, and a letter that was delivered to you today that I'm going to ask if all of you have. Do you have this from the Foothills Board? It should be about this thick.
14 pages?
14 pages with attachments.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Wasn't certain if I made it to you. In there, it talks about some of the discrepancies that we found. Discrepancies that deserve answers. Processes that are not loopholes, or rather, hoops to jump through. When we speak about the subdivision, when we speak about these things that are here, we are building a record. It is your job to build a record. The record here tonight is going to show that there is some degree of confusion in the public as to what exactly it is that we're reviewing. If we had done this the right way, there would have been a concurrent zoning with a comprehensive plan amendment. in which case you'd have the rezone being discussed with a comp plan amendment, or you would have a concurrent rezone with the subdivision. Instead, what you've got is this wonky way of having a subdivision in process. By the way, the SEPA checklist, the deadline for comment was today at 5 o'clock. Threshold determination was issued about 2 weeks ago. You've got projects that are in process that are contingent upon this rezone going through. Cart before the horse. Yes. I'm running out of time. I encourage you to read the 14-page document that's before you. One of the things that I'm concerned about is that the SEPA that was done for this project that staff has placed in your staff reports cites a categorical exemption for the environmental review. The categorical exemption in your staff reports, when I asked for it, ended up being a WAC. WAC 197.11.800.19, which relates to procedural actions, was sent to me. Staff has sent me an email stating instead that they have decided to use a categorical exemption that the legislature just adopted this year, an RCW that I explain in there. To use the RCW, according to my read of this brand new piece of legislation, has not been tested in court, but maybe it will be, maybe from here, requires that the would have required that the rezone be evaluated at the time of the comp plan as part of the CEPA checklist. It wasn't. Again, I had speaking notes. I was going to go through them. I became a different person when I walked up here. I encourage you to read through those. What we're asking for is this, that the staff do the correct CEPA checklist, which will only take 3 weeks with a threshold determination and for the rezone, and that regardless, it is our strong, strong position that we cannot have single access to the rezone area for any new development through the foothills. It is not a principal arterial. It is the foothills currently has 210 homes, which well exceeds the 30 homes. I'm down to 10 seconds. I thank you very much for your service, awesome, for your time, for your consideration. Please, we are not a hoop to jump through.
End of my list. I contemplated reminding everybody that, again, as regard to the proposed development, we have really no say in that matter. But I will ask, is there anyone else in the audience wishing to address the Planning Commission, sir? If you could just give us your name and address for the record.
My name is Richard Jackson. My address is 15104 222nd Drive Southeast.
Do you want the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
So I'm just here because my wife told me about this. She heard about it from someone in the neighborhood. We currently do not live in the foothills, but we still own a home there. We moved into the foothills in 1997. We've always loved the neighborhood. It's been a great neighborhood. We're proud of that neighborhood. We also want the neighborhood to continue to remain at the standard that is today, and we want it to continue to grow and you know to be a place where it's a desirable neighborhood where people want to live. And so based off of the testimony that I've heard this evening, I would ask the Planning Commission to recommend that this project be delayed, that the rezoning be delayed, specifically until we can at least what I guess what I'm asking for is for the City Council to at least get some provisions, some conditions on the developer before signing off on anything. You cannot have one way in and one way out into that community. My wife and I, we lived in there for 15 years, and I just drove that way a few weeks ago and noticed that you can turn right onto Highway 2. 15 years, and there was never a right-hand turn lane to get on the to Highway 2. and all that time. I mean, it just, it takes so long for improvements to be made. It would be a shame for the city to put so much belief into the developer and trust that they do the right thing. You know, we put our faith into our elected officials to make those good choices on behalf of the citizens. And so that's what I'm here to ask and request from the city.
Thank you very much. Okay. Is there anyone else wishing to speak to the Planning Commission?
Yeah. My name is Kimberly Ray, R-A-Y. I live at 13009 Phillips Ridge Road, Southeast, here in the foothills.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I would like to request that you continue the hearing to public input, to receive any public input on any information that staff would provide to the Planning Commission. We're requesting this from you. I think there's just a lot of things that are need to be disclosed. So that's what I'm asking.
Thank you. I'm sorry, we only allow one person at a time, otherwise things will just, or one person a night, otherwise it will go forever. I apologize. Is there anyone else who has not spoken tonight that would like to address the Planning Commission? Ma'am, if you could. Step up to this podium and give us your name and address for the record, please.
Sure. It's Stephanie Novak at 16654 White Mountain.
Great, and you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I just would like to say that I hope you delay this. And then since you have to go to the city council with this to see if they could possibly reopen it so that obviously everybody does have something to say to them personally instead of coming to you. So maybe when you make a recommendation to delay the zoning, to also ask them to reopen their ears for the rest of the community to really speak out on the other issues that we presented to you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to address the Planning Commission that has not had a chance this evening? Not seeing any other hands. I would make a motion to close the public testimony portion of the hearing. Is there any motion for that? Any comment?
Mr. Chairman?
Dave?
Before we go to motion, ask staff for one clarification.
Absolutely.
The gentleman spoke, I think it was Mr. Fetters. Said he was going to hold any comment until the environmental hearings. Is there an environmental hearing on this rezone? Brad, I see you shaking your head that there's not.
No.
I just would like to make sure that he's clear on that and ask that gentleman, with the commission's permission, if he wants to make any comments.
Absolutely. Mr. Fetters, are you still here?
My name is John Peters. I live at 12793 Phillips Ridge Road.
Do you promise the testimony you're about to give is the truth? If so, say I do.
I do.
Thank you.
I was reviewing the mitigative determination of non-significance, whose comment period closed this afternoon at 5 o'clock. I submitted a written comment concerning the utilities and the traffic safety, whether or not stub utilities coming out of the foothills would be adequate to serve the density of the rezoning.
Now, pardon me, sir, for just if I may, is this has to do with this, the like a subdivision, or does it have to do with the rezoning?
I just said the rezoning. Everything I've seen is that the utilities were coming off the stub at Bear Mountain Road out of the foothills, whatever development could be going on in there. And with the increased density of zoning, is there enough capacity in that, in the water and the sewer lines, that the people in the foothills will not be impacted then by additional drain on the water and additional load on the sewer? And I agree with them with the people concerned with the traffic safety issue, large number of cars that would be using those. That one stop on Bear Mountain Road to access the area for both construction and delivery.
Thank you, sir. I again, I'll throw it out just in case. Is anyone else wishing to address the Planning Commission and has yet on this? Commissioner, I would take any comments or entertain a motion. Dave?
Another comment, Mr. Chairman. The request is made that public testimony stay open in light of the additional information that's been provided tonight, and the questions are, I think, going to come back to staff and will be coming back to us at our next meeting. If we go to a motion to close public testimony, have we lost the opportunity to reopen public testimony? If the commission as a whole wants to do that.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Do we lose our ability to
spaced off for a moment?
Do you want to repeat it?
If the commission were to act out of closed public testimony, does that preclude us from reopening the public testimony so that comments can be offered in light of additional information? Sounds like we'll be coming back from staff for our next meeting. As compared to continuing public testimony in anticipation of that information.
We're checking.
The only thing that's mentioned is Section 7 of the Rules of Procedure and Conduct for the City of Monroe Planning Commission. Subsection G says, once the public hearing is closed, no additional testimony may be taken.
Are you implying then that if we close the public testimony but haven't closed the public hearing, we could then reopen the public testimony?
Could be.
I would think we could end public testimony but continue the public hearing to the next meeting.
Oh, a second. I got it. Number E, or Section E. If the commission, motion to close public testimony portion of the public hearing. If the commission feels additional information is necessary or when additional testimony is needed in order for the commission to take action, by majority vote, the commission may continue the public testimony portion of the hearing to the next regular meeting or to the date specified. So it seems like you can't, you have to, now is the time to say if you want to have it more later.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And do we need to make a specific date on that? In other words, for
yes,
disclosure.
Supposedly everyone here would know until the next time. Yes.
So yes. Sorry, Dave. Right?
No, my question was answered. Thank you.
Excellent. Do you have any other comments, Dave?
My inclination would be to keep the public testimony portion open. Commissioners?
I have what additional information were we waiting for? Because there was a lot of questions.
Well, I suspect I might have some questions come out of reading this document that I haven't read yet this evening. And I don't believe staff's had a chance to read this. I would suggest that if we did continue the public testimony, that we wouldn't want to hear all the same testimony again. And I hope that everyone in the audience can appreciate that. But any additional testimony would be related to any new issues or information that comes up.
Mr. Chair,
I did have at least two specific issues from early in the meeting regarding the state law requirements for consistency between the comp plan and rezoning, and the other was a status report or update on the billable land. That was prior to the public hearing, obviously. Those were two staff items that will come back along with some responses and comments during the public hearing.
I'll jump in and say that, one, I appreciate everybody being here and making your comments, and for the most part, very civil. I've repeated this over and over again. There are certain things here that I know is a big issue for most of you. Again, it's really outside of this group. But as it pertains to the rezone, if it was information that pertains to the rezone and discussion that was about the rezone, I would not be opposed to continuing and taking additional testimony. Again, not having the same information repeated, just slows down the process. And that's, you know, I suppose in some people's mind it's not a bad thing, but it it just doesn't add to it necessarily. We appreciate what you have to say and your concerns, and I would want to say, don't let it just stop here. If you're wanting to make an impact, understand that there's other parties involved that you will probably want to be in front of if you want to be heard. So specifically as it deals with the development, again, that's something we don't address. So short story long, I'm not opposed to extending the public testimony. Bill?
Two things. First of all, I'm not opposed to extending it either, as long as we keep the testimony pertaining to the rezone, period. Second of all, I'd like to make a motion to extend the meeting past 9 o'clock.
Thank you. Is there a second for our required extension?
Sure.
Thank you. The motion was made by Commissioner Christensen, seconded by Commissioner Demarest to extend our meeting past the 9 o'clock hour. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Commissioners, any other comments on extending the public hearing and have taken additional comment at our next meeting?
Does it require a motion?
I believe it does require a motion. Now, if I just make sure I get things right, we can close the public testimony right now, and we can always extend it and make that decision later. Or, I mean, because at some point we have to close it tonight.
You need to.
Or we have to make do we have to make a proposal to extend it? Thank you.
Of course,
clarification. So once we close it, it's closed. We have to make a decision to extend. So that would be a motion that we would need, a motion for an extension.
Actually, it's to continue the public testimony portion of the hearing.
A motion to continue the public testimony portion of the hearing. Our next meeting is December 10th, is that correct?
Yes.
December 10th, public hearing meeting, public planning commission meeting. Dave?
I do feel a need to try to refine this. Just because I'm concerned that it gets open all back up again. And that's not what I'm trying to accomplish here. Paul, the question I would have for you, for staff, is can you supplement the staff report, and then could we then limit additional public testimony to any issues raised in that staff report?
Well, I believe that if the agenda item is Roosevelt Road rezoning, then I don't believe that we can limit the subject of as long as it's related to the rezoning. That would be my initial interpretation.
Okay, so we would just have to kindly ask.
No doubt we'll have some more information or responses to the points that were raised tonight during the public hearing for the commission to consider, discuss, and perhaps there may be some new comment or reaction to that information at the next meeting. Well, I don't know how much it's going to actually change, but it can certainly solidify some of these issues in terms of how the commission makes its recommendation with some specifics to council.
I think it's important. I think we've heard clearly how important it is to the one neighborhood that this really affects. And we haven't heard from a developer. They're not here tonight as far as I know. We haven't heard from anyone speaking in favor of this. If I lived in that neighborhood, I would be out there as well. And anything that you can offer, that we can glean out of reading what's been submitted tonight, that will help this process along. I think the process will benefit from it. So those are my thoughts and suggesting this.
Commissioners, any other comments? Well, we have two options. One is to make a motion to close the public testimony, or the other is to continue the public testimony to the December 10th, 2012 Planning Commission meeting. Is there anybody desiring to make a motion?
Okay. We make that motion, are we done talking about it tonight? Because if we are, then I've got a couple of questions before the motion goes. We can still talk about it, Brad?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I'd be happy to make that motion then, and continue the public testimony portion of this hearing to December 10th. And that the testimony hopefully will be new in nature and or related to the additional information that comes forward, so that we're not just rehashing what we've talked about tonight. I don't think that helps you or helps us. So that would be my motion.
I'll second that.
All right, there's a motion made by Commissioner Demarest, seconded by Commissioner Dirksen. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So at this point, we have discussion of commissioners and staff on this particular item, I believe.
I have some, I remember way back when, back in the day when we were first discussing this thing about the traffic coming out of that area on Roosevelt. And we delayed it because of that issue. We delayed it because we wanted a new traffic study to take a look at that traffic. And my question is on the traffic coming out of there on Roosevelt, did they take into account the addition of that many homes back up in that area? 500 more, that's another 1,000 or so people or cars or whatever. So that was taken into account? Okay. Thank you.
But I think it's important to note, Brad, that at maximum build out of that rezone area, a lot of those homes would be accessing those over road through ways other than foothills.
Yeah. Right.
They would have access
to roads. They didn't say all 500 houses were going through foothills.
Right.
So they were going to use roads.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what my question is. I wasn't talking about foothills.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Commissioners, any other comments or questions?
Yes.
Commissioner Kettle?
My question is, the comp plan determines the zoning, right?
Eventually. It determines the level of density, yeah. Okay.
The comp plan's already been changed by the council, right? So the only reason I can figure out to delay the zoning is to block the development that isn't really supposed to be part of this decision. That would be the only reason to delay the zoning, because it's going to get changed at some point since the council already decided to change it in the comp plan? Or do I not understand?
Well, as far as did you vote for the continuation of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, if I finally speak, I guess, if you're asking the question, we've got some additional information this evening, a 14-page letter.
Right. I can't agree that, but that seems to be mostly about...
The development?
The development, and it doesn't change the fact that the council already voted to do the comp plan amendment. I'm just trying to make sure I understand, because it seems like the only reason to delay it would be to block the development that is impending.
Oh, to delay the rezone. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, when we were in our joint meeting back in February, I think it was, I gave an opinion that it should be delayed based on the housing numbers that would be coming out. City Council saw it differently than my opinion and some of the others of us.
Right, and they're the ones that are going to make the decision.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate, I'm going to say confusion, not just you, but on, I think, all of our parts. And I think Paul, one of the things he said he would bring back to us in 2 weeks is some further clarification on that question of when does the rezone have to take place. My understanding is the comp plan is a policy document. It's a visioning document of where we want to go, where the city wants to go. It doesn't say we're going to go tomorrow or next month or next year. We're going to go in that direction. And as I understand it, based on what I've seen in the past, sometimes those decisions aren't made until other things fall into place. Access, perhaps. Studies. And when those things fall in place, then the decision might be made to change the regulatory environment that would change the zoning.
So the hope is then that if we delay it, the city council might choose to change their minds on the comp plan amendment?
I'm not expecting that personally.
Okay, so then I'm just trying to bring it down to focus. We have two options, and I want to know why we would make either one of those options, the choices. So that's the only reason I see to delaying the rezone is to block the impending development. If there's some other reason that I'm missing, I'd love to know it.
Gotcha. So you're trying to solicit your fellow commissioners and... Gotcha.
You guys discussed this before, and I wasn't here then, so...
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Commissioner Christensen said, or asked, and I've asked this of staff, what has changed since the Planning Commission last took a position in 2010 saying, you know, it's not the right time. There's unanswered questions out there. What has changed that would make me as a Planning Commissioner say, yeah, let's go? I mean, they can develop a UR9600 today. There's nothing that stops an application from coming in and going forward based on that, as I understand it. Right, Brad? It's zoned. It can be done. The question is whether it wants to go to a higher density or not through the change to the UR6000. Again, what has changed since the last time I voted against this? To me, I haven't been heard anything that's changed yet. Brad, you brought some graphic information that says, yeah, the transportation impacts aren't as big as we thought. But we've heard an awful lot tonight about public safety. We've heard an awful lot about single point of access. I've been here long enough to have been around when Sinclair Heights was approved, and we went down to or continued a single way of access up into that Trombley Hill area where there had been other developments. Not too many years ago, we had a fire on the corner of the road into Sinclair Heights and Chain Lake Road. Shut down the access to that neighborhood and everything beyond it. It just, to me, those are big issues. What's changed since the last time? Yeah, they can do it a certain way today. But what has changed to say that we should move forward and say, yeah, do it. A greater development where you can, in a PRD, instead of having, get my right line here, 6,000 square foot minimum lot sizes, and I'm looking at Monroe's 1884.080, we can now go to lots that have a minimum lot size of 3,700 square feet. That in turn results in greater density.
But the one thing has changed, and that would be the comp plan.
No, it hasn't.
I thought that, yeah, the amendment changed what the council wanted to do with the density.
Brad, what was the date on the comp plan amendment?
It was 2010, October 2010.
Okay. Aaron, concurrent with that or subsequent to that, in the rezone request, and we recommended not doing it. So the comp plan change had gone forward, the rezone request died.
Okay.
So that brings me, if I may, jump in real quick, apologize to staff. I haven't been at these council meetings. Did they give a reason why they wanted to move this forward when we had asked them to consider delaying it, and their recommendation to delay? Did they give a reason behind why they said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and go forward anyway? Or?
I don't recall the specific discussion back in February of this year. I would say the council, I believe, acted on their former decision to amend the comp plan, and with the decision to support that previous action with rezoning.
had to do with the growth management. That was really the basis of it.
The housing numbers basically was that.
Yeah, and that looking at the foothills, you know, just making it a similar density. That was really the basis of the numbers.
You know, when we first looked at the rezone, in fact, when we looked at the comprehensive plan amendment, I think the council's final, or the planning commission's final decision, which was not made up of necessarily everybody that's here, was to deny, to not change the comprehensive plan. And then, you know, the council made their own decision and did that. And then I think my, if I'm remembering correctly, my desire to delay it was there was no property owners within that that really wanted to develop. That evidently has changed, but that was my my purpose at the time was I felt like nobody that owned homes there wanted it to change because they had no desire to sell their homes and have it redeveloped or redevelop it themselves. And that was mine along with the traffic. So that's what I can tell you on my account.
Okay. Well, then the only other thing that really matters to me is the public safety part. But what we're talking about is a maximum of 150 houses. And no matter what develops there, whether we change the zoning or not, if the access isn't addressed, I mean, access doesn't depend on what we recommend. Access is going to... If we keep the zoning the way it is, there's still going to be the problem of dump trucks and, you know, the exclusivity of that neighborhood. So I don't really think that the two issues are related. That it's 350 houses as it is now. That's still going to be a lot of construction. So I think that is something that the people should talk to council about if that's a concern. But I don't think doing the rezone is going to make it more unsafe than it would be if they're building 350 houses. So,
Jeff?
As I understand this, we are supposed to give a fresh recommendation to the council on this process. I would tend to favor the rezone simply because it grants flexibility in regards to giving more options to bring density to that area. And if I understand correctly, the issues regarding access and all become project level decisions. We can't sit here and say, well, go ahead and rezone, you have to have access off the Isabel Road. And maybe we put that in a motion. So I believe, since we are given the task of making a recommendation that this additional information is appropriate to consider, and the concept of the density combined with flexibility would bring me to favor the rezone, trusting for you that the subsequent processes that occur give you additional opportunities to voice the concerns you voiced tonight. And that's, I don't know if I'm seeing it correctly, but that's kind of what I'm seeing after all we've been through the last 2.5 hours.
Just if I may, Commissioner Dirksen, you had your hand up earlier.
I
apologize for that.
No, that's fine. So, from what I understand, the comprehensive plan has already changed this. And so why is it before us in the first place? Because it's already a done deal. You know, is that my understanding? If we say delay it or change it, or that it will actually change, or what? I don't understand it. I get what they're saying, totally. And I do agree with them. I would not want what's looks like gonna happen. But if the comprehensive plan is already in place, how is what we do tonight going to change that at all? I will get it. Yes.
Dave, you can go ahead.
Well, I would hope that first off, just because the comp plan, and I don't want to minimize the comp plan, okay. I think it's a really important document.
Okay.
And if it's a done deal, just because it says it's in the comprehensive plan, I think we might as well get up and go home.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
I don't believe it's a done deal, and I don't believe that it's a done deal in the council. And I have had staff tell me that just because it says it's in the comprehensive plan, it has to be a done deal. I haven't heard that. If staff comes back and tells us that, based on state law, that once it's adopted, well, then the whole rezone question really becomes moot.
Well,
it becomes a done
that's
deal.
That's what I'm asking.
And I've never understood it to be that way.
Okay. I'm trying to understand the comprehensive plan and how it fits with what we are doing tonight. If it's not already in place and they're already going forward with the building plans or trying to get along.
Yeah, I want to kind of just piggyback on what Jeff said earlier. It's already zoned, today to they could go out there and build homes on it, and it would still be the same problem of putting in homes, access, traffic, safety issues, water pressure, all of the things that were brought up tonight would still be there as far as the project is concerned. But as far as the density of that property, that's a separate issue of all of the other things that were discussed tonight. It's just a separate issue. And hopefully the project would take care of all the access issues and utilities and that type of thing that has to go on. So I'm kind of going along with Jeff as to what he says is to approve to go to the 5-7 rather than do that. Yeah, we're in this today.
Dave?
Bill, you're absolutely right. The project is not up for discussion. But I'm going to disagree as far as density. It is a question. It's all about density. Going to the UR6 housing zone says 40% potentially more houses than under the UR96 zone. That goes to character of neighborhood. That goes to public safety. That goes to demands on city services. It is all about density.
But is it the foothills already at that same density?
Well, I think that's a great question. What is the average lot size in foothills? And what is the density in foothills? And you can come back with us in 2 weeks on that if you would. Yeah.
Sorry, Jack.
At the outset, I was mildly rebuked for asking the question of what the density would be on this proposed subdivision. And I think we've come full circle, and I hope you can understand why I asked that question. That In spite of this looming potential for so many homes, the practical aspect is that it is highly unlikely, given the constraints of critical areas and all within this proposed rezone area, that maximum density will ever be reached. Because here we have a project that is typical of what might be proposed, and that density is half of what the maximum would be at 3.65 versus 7. So I just want to throw that out there, that I don't see a danger of 500 homes looming in this rezone area. I see it as being highly unlikely from a practical standpoint.
Thank you. Dave?
And I don't want to beat this to death, Jeff, but our zoning code provides for smaller lots in a more dense zone. You lose property to the critical areas, you get to shrink the lots down to a smaller size under the UR6 housing zone than you would under the UR9600 zone, which doesn't allow you to make up all that density, you lose the weather, but you make up more of it. And so it still does come back to density. it still is a, there's a calculation that comes into play.
We addressed this before in a prior meeting on a different subject, but at some point in time, the market says, you know, a 30 by 120 lot isn't going to cut it. Nobody wants it, the builders don't want it, people don't want it. So I think the market will allay some of that fear, and the density will warm them up.
Dave?
No more on that. We have nothing in our staff report regarding fire department comment on this rezone. Seems to be in the past we've had department comments. Does the fire department have anything to say about the rezone and the access up there? If, and I would prefer next to be.
I'll check on that and bring the information for the next meeting.
I would just make one note, if I could, comment that I don't know why the Planning Commission thinks that, or the City Council thinks it takes us a long time to get anything done, but here we are, taking longer than they expected. This isn't, a lot of times we sometimes wonder if we're a rubber stamp deal, and while I don't like delaying something for the sake of delaying, I appreciate the conversation that is being generated here. I think there's good points on both sides, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting to some more information and being able to make a decision one way or the other. So, just an observation.
Commissioner Tuttle, did you have something?
Yeah. The access thing, I would like to know if the fire department has input. Dave, I think you just asked about that. And I'd like to know, in the case of the rezone and also as is, because they might have something to say about any kind of development even now. Yeah, and I mean, that's my neighborhood too, so you know, that part matters. But I just wonder what the... If there's construction, there's construction, and it doesn't really matter if it's 350 or 500, there's still going to be construction, and there's still going to be access, and that's going to happen, so.
I understand that, and I know there's a thought of the number of trucks, but the trucks are trucks. We have labored staff with a bunch more work. Appreciate that. Commissioners, anything else on this? Staff, anything else? I'm guessing not. Paul, are you doing okay? Okay to move forward on our next item this evening? Anything else you wanted to discuss?
I suggest we take a quick break. So we can set up for the next item.
Great. Now, we do not close anything at this point. We're just going to move on because we may have internet. Great. Thank you, folks, for, if I may, real quick. Jeff, sorry. You going to make a motion to...
I'd like to make a motion to truncate the agenda. That which has gone before. And put the same thing... You know, I don't think we're all going to be batting a thousand here on this next topic after going through this. So I think it would be prudent if we can get a majority to delay that discussion until another day.
I'd like to hear what staff has to say. I know, again, as I mentioned earlier, and I can't figure out why the council thinks it takes us very limited. Would it be good to extend this, or is it something we can kind of address that would be helpful for us to go through this workshop to get more information to keep the process moving?
What's the possibility of a special meeting for sign code?
For sign code for when?
December 3rd?
26th. Yeah, I guess it would have to be December 3rd.
December 3rd?
26th.
26th, Monday after Thanksgiving.
Next Monday.
And I already have
a week from today.
I think either would be appropriate. We could do a special meeting. And then we can, we're planning to bring the consultant back for our next. We have a meeting on the 26th.
I know.
That's what I thought we had. I thought we had a meeting on the 26th, and we talked about extending the public testimony to the 10th. I was thought, oh, maybe they canceled that meeting.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, it's fine with me. We can do the 26th.
Me too.
We can meet on the 26th with the site code update we were going to talk about tonight, and also consider the rural development zone.
I think we can talk about the rural development.
You made the.
We made a motion with a specific date.
Yeah. The 10th, but
yes.
The 26th.
Yes.
Our regular meeting date of the 26th.
For which? I agree. No, I absolutely agree. Oh, I see. Okay.
26, and at a minimum, we will have an assignment update. There may be 110 that we can add by that.
Okay.
Mr. Sachs would like to make a comment.
Oh, Mr. Sorry. You still haven't extended the motion on Roosevelt Ridge yet. You never did vote on that. So we should close that with it.
I thought we voted unanimously to extend the public testimony portion of the meeting to December 10th.
The motion was made, the second was made, but you never voted on it.
Yes, we did.
We did. It was unanimous. In fact, I was expecting a couple of names, but we got a unanimous vote on that.
Just check, because we didn't have
it. I appreciate that tonight.
Before you cancel the meeting.
Yeah. Thank you. So there's a proposal to... table the workshop and to the next meeting, which is November 26th. Would anybody be willing to make a motion to do that? Do we need a motion for that? It's a workshop.
Since it's on the agenda, I think we should...
Just to make it official? I'll entertain a motion for that.
I think the audience...
You do want a motion?
I do. I'll go ahead and take one.
You made a motion. I'll second the motion.
Okay, so a motion was made by Commissioner Sherwood and seconded by Commissioner Demers to table the workshop sign code update to the next meeting of November 26th. Any further discussions?
Question, no? When is the consultant coming back?
He's scheduled to come back on the 26th.
On the 26th?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Great, productive.
Good. Any other discussions? For never. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. We will address that. With that, we have discussion by commissioners and staff. Folks, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We're almost done with our meeting. You're welcome through this to take it out there. Otherwise, it's just a little distracting. I apologize. We'll be done in just a moment. Staff? Anything?
No. I just returned from a week out of the office. I have to say, no, I don't have anything to add at this point.
Okay. Jeff, you're here tonight, anything? Commissioner Tumblin? Commissioner Erta? Commissioner Christensen?
No.
Commissioner Sherwood?
No.
I don't have any
more. Make a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, you can make a motion. Motion made by Commissioner Demers, seconded by Commissioner Christensen to adjourn tonight's meeting. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Well, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
All right, Shane.
You know, our